Can you make sure the other buttons are pressed in so it goes online? Channel 3, I think. Channel 3. Boom. How y'all doing today? Should have done a better sound check. Apparently. So here's what, while I'm doing, say what? So here's, while I'm doing this, I wanted to tell you, growing up, I was thinking about this on the last song. Growing up, my parents, specifically my dad over there, used to tell me all the time that I listened to trash. It could have been anything. Could have been, no, still not working. All right, let's just do the cordless. It'll be good. So I would listen to Eric Clapton even. Eric Clapton is not trash. But he would just say it's trash because I was the one listening to it. So it could be like, you know, and here's what I did. I got out of it by writing my own music, because you can't say it's trash, right? You don't want to tell anybody their music is trash, to their face anyway. And then second, I got into Christian music. You definitely can't say that Christian music is trash. So I was just thinking about that, the third song, like, man, got out of the trash music, I guess. Eric Clapton is not trash, by the way. I just need to throw that out there. So last week we talked about temple work and showing up for temple work. Does anybody remember what our task is? I just said it. It's temple work. Showing up for the temple, to do the temple work, to do the temple task. And I think if there, by the way, I want to continue on with this idea of feed my sheep. But I think if there has been any verse that has been if I could use it as a mantra this year, it would be Psalm 90:12, which says, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And that word number, teach us to number our days, not just number as in teach us to know that our days are short, teach us to know that we're not here very long, but teach us to ordain our days. So, in other words, each and every day that we're here for a reason. We've got a purpose. And the Bible says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then it goes on to say, but how precious are your thoughts about me, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they'd outnumber the grains of sand, and when I awake, I'm still with you. In other words, just because you're here doesn't mean that God has put you in the corner. Even you people who have been bad, he has not put you in the corner. He's not shoved you aside and said, well, I'll shove you aside until I have good use for you. No, he's always constantly watching after you, looking after you, thinking about you, loving on you, and all of these great and wonderful things. And he's got a purpose for you each and every day. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So my question today is, since we have this whole idea that each and every day is ordained to us and for us, and really for him, I want to ask you this question. What are you being fed? So I'm going to ask, or I'm going to read this verse, and I have a few other questions that I want to ask you after I read this. This is from John 21. This is, Max talked about this a couple weeks ago when the disciples had gone out. They decided they were going to go fishing. It was nighttime. They spent all night trying to fish. They couldn't catch a single thing. And then they're coming into shore in the morning, and there's Jesus on the beach. They don't know it's him until he tells them to cast their nets to the other side of the boat. They catch the fish. They go, hey, it's Jesus. It's got to be him. And so they come in, they have breakfast, and here's what Jesus says. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my lambs. Then he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend to my sheep. I'm going to ask a personal question. Does anybody else have digestion issues? Like poor digestion? Like I have IBS. That's my deal. I have IBS. Anybody else deal with something similar to that? Okay. So I'm good. Thank you for not letting me be alone in this. Talk about trash, right? One of the things about IBS is you're supposed to pay attention to what goes in, because what goes in can affect what all happens inside of your system. And if what goes in irritates your system, what comes out is not pretty, if it comes out at all. That's IBS for you. There are lots of trigger foods out there for IBS, and there's some things that I've learned. Well, what goes in must come out at some point, and it ain't always pretty. It just isn't always pretty. Jesus said this: it's not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of a mouth that defiles a man. So if you've got, how many of you like steak, for example? A good steak. Mm-hmm. T-bone. Porterhouse. Come on, give me something else. There you go. Filet mignon. What's that? Filet mignon? That's the one, huh? Yeah, and I want to tell you this. That's a trigger food for IBS. Now, how many of you can eat a steak and it's all good? See, it's not what goes in that defiles a person, but it's what comes out that ain't so pretty in the end. Now, how many of you, if you eat steak, can't do that very well? Anybody? Nobody's willing to admit that. Okay, that's good. By the way, if you have IBS, oftentimes, you count the cost. I bet you go, you know, there's trigger foods out there, and I know what I'm going to have to deal with. It's worth it. Now, filet mignon, a porterhouse, a New York strip, all of it, worth it. Absolutely worth it. What goes into a person does not defile him. It's what comes out of him. So here's my question. What are you feeding yourself? Because just because it looks good, and just because it sounds good, and just because it tastes good, doesn't mean it's going to be pretty coming out. What are you feeding yourself? Do I have any thinkers in here? People who are thinkers? Yeah? Do I have any overthinkers in here? People who love to overthink? Yeah. So I love to overthink. I don't love to. I just tend to. It's where I navigate to. And any worriers? Yeah. So worry tends to come from overthinking, doesn't it? I mean, when you overthink a situation, a lot of times you find yourself in a position you don't want to be in. I'm an overthinker, and I overthink on occasion. Okay, I overthink often, very often. And I don't know about you guys, but I have a very wild imagination when I overthink. And I tend to go to the furthest place that a person probably can go with their thoughts. Yeah, exactly. And of course, the end result is not all that pretty. But I find that when I give my thoughts power, they affect my beliefs. This week was a struggle for me in that. I tell you what, this message didn't, I had an idea for the message that I wanted to give, but it really didn't come together until yesterday morning, until I finally said, I have to just, enough. I can't let all of these other thoughts and all of these other things come into play right now. I need to put them to rest. And when I did, finally, a message comes, 5:30 in the morning, a message comes pouring out. So when I give my thoughts power, they affect my beliefs, and I've been struggling with that. I think you'll find that one thought, it's interesting, one thought can lead to a whole bunch of thoughts that you never knew you had until you started thinking. So, in other words, you could get to a point where you're just angry at one little person for one little thing that they did, and that anger for one little person turns into the whole world has gone mad. The whole world is messed up. The whole world doesn't know what it's talking about or what it's doing or what it's thinking. And because you just allow your thoughts to go one after the other, and you just continue to pile on, and you think, and you think, and you overthink, and you have a wild imagination just like me. And it becomes a disaster. How many of you have ever read the book Ecclesiastes? I believe Solomon had that very same issue when he was writing Ecclesiastes. He starts off, man, everything is vanity. Everything is futile. You do this, it's futile. It's pointless. You do this over here, it's pointless. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on for, I don't know, over I think, 10 chapters or something. He goes on and on about all of the things that become pointless. I think Solomon tended to overthink. However, in the midst of his depression, I find that God pours a lot of truth into him. But what are you feeding yourself? I also find that when I have these thoughts, that I also have feelings that follow those thoughts. When those feelings take root, it becomes an even bigger issue. So, and when those feelings take root, by the way, and we're talking feelings of anger, of sadness, of hurt, of bitterness, all of those crazy things, all of those things begin to take root. And then they affect my health. They affect my very physical being. So all of the things that were going on in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul, those things begin to take effect into my actual body, into my being. You know why I started getting IBS? It was started off as stress and worry, turned into anxiety, and then from there it just went. And stress and all of those things are a huge trigger for IBS. And so you just find that when you let your thoughts run wild and you start to think and you start to feed yourself with these thoughts, you start to feed yourself with these ideas and mindsets and whatever else, you have to be careful because that can go a little bit too far. And that can take you down a road that you don't really want to go down. What are you letting others feed you? This is a huge thing. As if I have a problem, you know, not overthinking on my own, having somebody else's thoughts come into my mind is a completely whole new ball game. That's a big thing too. What are you letting other people feed you? So, what are you watching on TV? Even, you know, we could talk about news and all that stuff. I think we beat that dead horse a long time ago. We could talk about it all day. But what about the other stuff that's on TV? What about the sensationalist stuff that's on TV? What about the TV shows that they're fiction even? But they tend to affect your mindset. They tend to affect how you believe, how you see things. And I've noticed even on TV shows, they put little ideas out there. It's interesting. If you watch it close enough, you can pick out little, you know, beliefs and things that they champion and ideas just that get into your head. And sometimes they sound good. Sometimes they make them look good. Sometimes they taste good. But man, coming out, they ain't so pretty. Okay, here's the other dead horse we're going to beat. How about Facebook? What are you looking at on Facebook? What are you posting on Facebook? What are you seeing on Facebook? What are you seeing on Instagram? What are you seeing on Twitter? What are you seeing on all these different places? What are you allowing other people to feed into you? And how many of you get on Facebook, you see a post that you go, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that person just said that. I can't believe they posted that. And you get going and you start typing up all kinds of things ready to fire back. Anybody? Yeah, whatever. You people say no. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hit send and sometimes you go, should not have done that. You can't hit delete fast enough. Or sometimes you get it all typed up and you go, if I hit send, man, it's going to just be a wreck, a disaster. What are you letting other people feed you? It might look good, might taste good, might sound good, but man, coming out, it ain't going to be pretty. Now, here's the thing. If you have IBS, you understand this. Sometimes things come at the most inopportune time. So you'll be in a grocery store, you'll be in a department store, and you're going down the aisle, and you go, you know what, man, I got gas, my tummy is rolling. And so you're looking around for an empty aisle. So you can just go, what a rip. And then you go, I need to go find a bathroom. That's it, because it all happens at the most inopportune time. Listen, when you put something in your system, something even spiritual, when you put something in your system, it can come out at some of the most inopportune times. How many of you do the open mouth, insert foot? Yeah, because things come out at the most inopportune times. How many of you have ever been told a really funny, dirty joke and you just want to go out and tell it to somebody? No hands being raised. Just a bunch of liars in this room. Wow. You go, no, I shouldn't tell that because I know what they'll think of me. And then the wrong person comes along and you tell that joke to that person. And they're going, that's not funny. What are you doing? But doesn't that happen? We tend to get into a position where all the things that we put in ourselves, they're rolling around in there. And then at the most inopportune time, man, they can come out. And you're going, oh, never trust a fart. I need to go to the bathroom. Right? That's right. What are you letting others feed you? Here's some truths I want to stand on. And I think that these are some things that we can examine. And as you go about even your daily life, you can just think about these things and ponder these things. The first and foremost is that above all else, God is in control. He is holy and he is just. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May it be forever. May your name be magnified now and forever. You know, I think we say that we know that God is in control. I mean, many of us do. We sing songs about how God is in control. We sing songs about how he's sovereign. We talk about how he's sovereign and he's amazing and all of these crazy things. And I think that we say that we know that. But I'm not sure that we act on that. I'm not sure that we really truly know it inside of our hearts. Listen to this in Lamentations. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his own sins? Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. That's a hard pill to swallow, that both good and ill could go forth from the mouth of the Most High, from the Lord Almighty. Yet it does. But I find that God is not limited to our own understanding of God. So, children, all of you adults who were growing up, you understand this. Your parents didn't always listen to you because you were right. They listened to you because they love you and they wanted to hear what you had to say. They don't always listen to you because you're right. Was that a little confrontation there? Okay. They don't always listen to you because they're right. Because you're right, because they have an understanding that you might not have. When you pray to God, even, God doesn't necessarily listen to you because you are right. And he doesn't necessarily answer your prayers because you are right. Because God has a more infinite understanding than we can ever imagine. And that's when he answers your prayers, he answers them with his infinite understanding. It's not always how we look at it. And it doesn't always happen in the way that we think. So it's important to stand on the promises of God and to know the promises of God. Because God is in control and he is holy and he is just. The second thing is that there is a time for everything and time is in his hands. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, one of the truths that God poured into him. There's an appointed time for everything. And there's a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. And then he goes on to say, what profit is there to the worker from that which he toils? I've seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He's made everything. Somebody say everything. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He's also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning, even to the end. Let me go back through. Let me modernize this for you. There's a time to build up a nation. There's a time to tear it down. There's a time to get sick. But then there's a time to heal. There's a time for evil to be exposed. then there's a time for good to triumph. There's a time for relationships to begin and a time for them to end. There's a time for destruction and a time to make all things new. So there's a time for everything, all things in heaven and on earth, and time is in his hands. How many of you remember the How Great Is Our God song? Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. We sing about that all the time too. But it is in his hands. And if time is in his hands, who's in control? God. And he is holy, and he is just. The whole encounter with Peter, this whole feed the sheep encounter, I think it needs to be taken as one story. Jesus starts the whole encounter with an illustration. They were out all night fishing, and they couldn't catch a single thing. And when they got up close to shore, they have an encounter with this man who they at the time don't know it's Jesus. And here's what's happening. It says, when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find a catch." So they cast, and then they were able not to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put out his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, I want to say this. Jesus did not do that just in the moment, just so that the disciples knew, hey, it was Jesus. Hey, here I am, Jesus, in the moment. It wasn't just for that purpose. He was showing them something even greater. I am Lord. I know where to go. I know how to catch the fish. I know where all the fish are. I know exactly what you need. I know exactly when you need it, because time is in my hands. Provision is in my hands. Jesus is saying, I am Lord for all time. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter goes, yeah, absolutely. And he says, well, feed my sheep. That cancels out one denial of Peter. So he says it again, do you love me? Peter goes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, shepherd my flock, my sheep. That cancels out the second denial of Peter. Remember when Peter denied Jesus, right? So a third time, Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? Peter's grieved by now, and he's going, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. What Jesus was doing was saying, Peter, you're forgiven of the things that you did before. Now I want to use you. I want to show you that I love you. No matter what, I want to show you, even though you denied me, I love you, and I want you to do this task for me. So he finishes by saying this. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. When you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you, bring you where you do not wish to go. How many of you are looking forward to going to a nursing home? How many of you are looking forward to somebody else having to take care of you? So this is this thought just crossed my mind. Those of you who have IBS, when somebody else has to take care of you, that ain't gonna be pretty. Anyway, sorry, that thought just crossed my mind. Talk about trash going in. Jeez. There I go, wander. They said, signifying but what kind of death that he would glorify God. And then he had spoken this. He said to him, being Peter, he said, follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but surrendering control is not a thing that comes naturally to me. I don't like to surrender control. Do you like to surrender control? How many of you like to be in control? How many of you like to know what's happening, what's going on, what's step-by-step play? Yeah. How many of you are willing to surrender that right away? It ain't happening. Well, we need to. And so he said, follow me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who's the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. You surrender. You give up control. You trust me. You abide with me. I will abide with you." My final question to you is this: what are you feeding other people? You know, it's really been about what are you putting in your system. But now what are you putting into other people's system? That's a huge thing, and that's a huge responsibility. Because what you put into other people's systems might reflect what's going on in the world today also. Let me ask you this. If God came back today, would he be proud of you for the hills that you're willing to die on? Do you know what I mean? By the things that you're fighting for each and every day of your life, the things that you, the platforms that you stand on, the battles that you face and fight, would he be proud of you for the hills that you're willing to die on? I'm not sure a lot of us he would be. I'm not sure that he would be really pleased with how we handle things here in America, here in this world. I'm not sure that he really would be pleased at all. So what hills are you dying on? What hills are you willing to die on? What are you feeding yourself? That might determine what hills you're willing to die on. And what hills you're willing to die on might determine what you're actually feeding other people. And that can be a very scary thought. I long for the day when people will say, when people will realize that the work that I do on this earth is meaningless, that I have been put here for a purpose, and that is to love God and to love other people. It's not about things. Things come and go. Stuff comes and goes. We came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave it with nothing, right? All the stuff comes and goes. But people are eternal because God has set eternity into their hearts, and God himself is eternal. What are we willing to die on? What hill are we willing to die on? I long for the day when people will say, "I am here for God and I'm here for people. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to ordain my days so that I may present to you a heart of wisdom. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, you have given us your son Jesus so that we may abide with you. Your word says that he is the only way, he is the only truth and the life, and that no man can come to you except through him. I pray that each of us would know to number our days. Each of us would know to ordain our days. We've been given a task. We've been given a purpose here. That task is temple task, to build the temple. That we're called to go out and spread the good news and to reconcile those to you whom you have called. And I pray, Father, that that would be set in our hearts, that would be set in our minds, and that even as we leave here today, that we would be thinking, well, what can I do, Lord? What can I do to serve you? And I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to those things, and that you would lead us down the paths of righteousness, not for our name's sake, but for your name's sake. And as your word says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. Not some, but all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, next week, be looking for, Katie told me we got yard signs made up that say hashtag. Remember what hashtag is? Little tic-tac-toe sign, little pound sign. Hashtag grow your faith 2021. So if you want one of those yard signs, hopefully they'll be here next week. And we'd love to see that being spread throughout the community. I'm talking with Katie about putting a couple billboards up. That would be cool too, if you drive down the road and see hashtag grow your faith 2021. That would be awesome. So anyway, thank you, Katie. Appreciate it. And Peg, it's amazing to see you here today. that Peg is an example of God healing and working. So that is awesome. Mm-hmm. You all, is there anything else? Am I missing anything? I don't think so. Haley, if you could give him a hard time, as you leave, that would be amazing. Because I've had to have 20 years of it. How old am I? I'm 38 now. That's, wow. That's it, Baldy. That's right. Haley will be 17 on Friday. Yeah, everybody in that on that whole side is red. Their face is red. That's funny. Online watching, that's your Darlene's asking that you continue to pray for Jim Grimsley because he's still on oxygen, and so he's waiting to get off of that, and he just needs some healing. So we're claiming and believing in healing, and it's going to happen. That's right, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dave, would you pray for us as we leave?